And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to welcome everyone to our program tonight. Got a lot of information to cover. The first hour, some significant breaking information that, well, frankly, it's very personal to me. And you need to know about this. The second hour, we have a very special guest, Saeed Abedin. He made news. He was a prisoner in Iran for 3 years for being a Christian, essentially for being a Christian. He's going to come on in hour two to talk about what that's about, what that was like. And then hour three, Pastor David Langford will be with us. It's really going to be a packed program, but this first hour, of course, some lighter news. I suppose it's light relative to everything else. Is cereal giant Kellogg, says Breitbart's conservative principles are not aligned with their corporate values. So bad news for you, Pop-Tart, Rice Krispie, Cheez-It, Eggo eating snowflakes. Yeah, if you like your Fruit Loops in the morning, yeah. Kellogg says, you know what? We really don't want your business. Enough said. That's right. In fact, Breitbart News has started an internet petition with the hashtag Dump Kellogg's. You know, this is, folks, what's taking place right now. This is a war at the economic level, because here we have experienced it ourselves, and it costs money to broadcast. It costs money to broadcast, whether you're broadcasting across town or across the world. It costs money if you want to reach people. Now, we have the best. I believe we have the best. Global Star Radio Network is absolutely the best. And of course, we use YouTube Live and Blog Talk Radio as well. But here's the thing. We have advertiser sponsors to offset the cost of broadcasting. And the sponsors that we do accept, and I say accept, it must align with our Christian values. We had, not too long ago, had a situation where we said, look, with one sponsor, we said, look, we really can't in good conscience. So one of our listeners had said, did you know that they filed an amicus brief with the homosexual marriage issue? No, I didn't know that. So we contacted the person in charge of ads and says, look, you know, it doesn't align with our values. So we're not going to, you know, we don't feel in good conscience. We could continue advertising your product. It's not a problem. So not only did that ad company take out that sponsor, but they took out two other sponsors as well, saying, you know what? If you're that intolerant, we're going to just cut you right off at the, we're going to take everything we got from you, basically. Everything you've got. We're going to take everything you've got. Which, that's fine. That's their right, as it is our right as well, Dump Kellogg's. But the big money, the corporate, the big corporations, they can survive a lot longer than the smaller businesses. And this is the warfare right now. This is where the warfare is at right now in this country. If you are a Christian, anti-abortion, pro-marriage, and I say pro-marriage, pro-traditional marriage, if you really need that qualifier, then ladies and gentlemen, you're on your own. and it's going to get lonely. Now, we've got some, this is why we all need to team together. And you know what? I guarantee you, see, and I'm talking about this right now. I guarantee you there will be Christian websites out there. As sure as I'm sitting right here, there will be Christian websites out there who will say, you know, oh, it's all about money with you. Here you go. Whining and complaining about money. When you, Christian website owner, operator, the only thing you can really brag about, not even brag, the only thing that you ever have ever done to advance the Christian agenda is to rip other Christians down. That's your claim to fame. Well, maybe knitting or something like that. I don't know. That might be your claim to fame, too. But see, this is war. This is war. Now, I'm not on a rant. Really, I'm not. But we have to understand the asymmetry of the war that we are fighting. The progressive Marxist-Leninist warriors out there will come after you in every way possible. They will come after you financially. They will tie you up in court, bleed you dry with the lawyer's fees. They have deep pockets. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe, no, I'm on my own. I don't have a lawyer. I don't have anybody backing me. Yeah, go a few layers deeper. Go a few layers deeper. Oh, yes, you do. So they can afford the lawyers while we can't. And they rejoice in that. And of course, they call themselves Christians. We're doing this for the Christian community, for the truth movement. We're doing it because that's why we're doing it. Because we have to take these Christian charlatans and get rid of them. Yeah. Okay. So it's war. And if you see, it's not just us as a broadcasting entity. It's not us as a website. It's not us as an entity or a family. You will feel this too. If you don't have a website, if you're just listening to this, but you've got the ideology, the conservative ideology, the pro-Christian, anti-abortion, pro-traditional marriage ideology, that you've got that, and you believe in what's right, you believe in what's biblically correct, you'll be a target too. Whether you'll be discriminated against on your job, or via your shopping. Look at Kellogg's. You know, you're not welcome as a customer. That's fine. Okay. But the battle lines have been drawn. And they are going to get deeper and wider. And we're all going to be engaged. Like it or not, the battle is coming to you. Just wait. More on that in a little bit. By the way, found a great, speaking of advertisers, found a great, great company, luggage. Folks, do you need a carry-on? I want to direct your attention to awaytravel.com/Hagman. I'm going to show you this a little bit later. I actually brought the carry-on with me here into the studio. I'm going to show you this only because it is so great. This is what I'm getting my daughter for Christmas because, well, this Away carry-on actually charges cell phone devices. It's a carry-on bag. It's got a charger built into it, and it's got like a $1,000 carry-on bag that sells for a third of that, less than that. I'll show you that later. But anyway, Portions of Nice broadcast brought to you by awaytravel.com/Hagman. Really a cool thing. Now, I was a little bit unnerved before the broadcast. Reason being is, regular listeners and longtime listeners know that, that we, back in 2005, into 2006 and into 2007, we, when we operated as the Northeast Intelligence Network, we conducted physical surveillance of what is known as Islamburg, Muslims of the Americas. And you've heard me talk about this before. I've written extensively about them before. I published a PDF report, which I'm going to republish again. Islamburg is a compound, Islamic Muslim compound, headquartered in at the base of the Catskill Mountains in New York State. It's an enclave, and it's known as Holy Islamburg at the base of the Catskill Mountains. In fact, Eric, if you can put up, it's led by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani, this guy on your screen. If you're watching this live via YouTube, you'll see. That's the one. So, Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani is the head of Islamburg. He started the Muslims of the Americas, the Community of the Impoverished, back in 1980. This guy is a resident of Pakistan. In 80, and I'm just giving you a thumbnail, just a really, really quick version of this. He came to the United States in 1980 and began the Muslims of the Americas. Now, I'm going to leave this image up on the screen just for a little bit, or have Eric do it. And what he did was appeal to the black men in America and started the compound in Hancock, New York. They bought up a huge parcel of land, a lot of acreage, in the base of the Catskills. And then from there, branched out all across the United States. At one point, they had 37 different encampments. I'm sure you've heard of this guy, Islamburg, Muslims of the Americas. I'm sure you've heard of him if you've been looking at the terror threat in the United States for any length of time. All right. Back in the 80s, they were designated as a terrorist group. Now, right after 9/11, they were taken off as a terrorist group by the U.S. Department of State. And I really wasn't planning on getting into this tonight, except there's a huge issue here, and the issue is this: we are targets. We are absolute targets by this group. Remember the Beltway snipers, Mohammed Limavo and the Beltway snipers. They were members of the Muslims of the Americas. That was not widely known, but they received assistance from the Muslims of the Americas, from this group in Hancock, New York. All right. So, in 2005 began an investigation of the Muslims of Americas, which is the International Quranic Institute, or International Institute, International Quranic Institute of America. That's their actual, you know, legal title. But Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani, after establishing this group and being named as a terrorist organization, went back to Pakistan. And, but nonetheless has maintained contact with and, has had support from the Muslims of the Americas, or Islamburg groups, 37 compounds across the United States. Well, after being designated as a terrorist organization, there was a bit of a crackdown, but still they were allowed to live and be part of the community here across the United States. Now, go ahead and put up image one there. This is an image that maybe the sign, yeah. This is an image that I personally took this image, and this has been all over, published all over the internet. This is the outside of the compound in Hancock, New York. This appeared in books. This appeared in websites all across, really all across the world. In 2007, I believe it was, published a investigative report about the Muslims of the Americas. We observed, being an licensed investigative agency, we were asked to take a look at this group. Not by any government agency, but by a private entity. We did. We conducted surveillance. The surveillance that we conducted verified a number of things, not limited to, or including, but not limited to, the fact that they were engaged in paramilitary training at this vast compound in Hancock, New York. They were in possession of automatic weapons. There was a school bus on site there that was being used not just for target practice, but they would storm the school bus. Neighbors reported hearing automatic gunfire, seeing these people march, the men march down the street. Now there's an image, I believe it might be three. The guy by the hole. All right. We reported the fact that this group was collecting, storing weapons at this location. We provided documentation to that effect to the federal government, to the FBI. No sooner did we do that, no sooner did we provide, and you can take a look at this image. This is from Islamberg. That's and for those listening, what this depicts is a man standing by an underground bunker where weapons were allegedly kept. Now, here's the situation. Just now, Fox News is reporting. Oh, and by the way, we issued this investigative report to the FBI, provided them all sorts of documentation, photographic documentation, video documentation, witness statements. No sooner did we submit that, I don't even think the ink was dry on the report that we submitted, Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani issued a religious statement against me and another investigator. Some might call it a fatwa. It did earn me a visit from the FBI, who said, look, if I were you, I wouldn't be caught, you know, hanging around Islamberg, and I'd really beef up your security if I were you. Yeah, I just took a brief snip of what's on their website, Muslims of the Americas website, and you can see part of it where I'm named there. Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani names me as being the individual behind terrorism. Okay, as crazy as that sounds. In case Jilani does ring a bell, that does ring a bell. You remember Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl? He was on his way to meet with Jilani in Lahore, Pakistan, when he was kidnapped and beheaded. Daniel Pearl. The FBI, of course, cleared Sheikh Jilani from any wrongdoing, saying, no, Jilani had nothing to do with it. So, we warned the FBI, we warned DHS, we warned everybody we could about this. Other agencies or other companies, other broadcasting authors and such. But Dr. Paul Williams wrote, in fact, he wrote in his book, The Day of Islam, he wrote, dedicated a chapter and a half or two chapters to my investigation. He himself went to Islamberg. Fox Channel 5 went to Islamberg. Of course, they went overtly with cameras. They were subsequently kicked off the property. It's not exactly how you do an investigation, but nonetheless. So our findings were ridiculed by the FBI, saying that, don't worry, there's no issue. Of course, then Jelani published photographs of the FBI lunching with the Muslim terrorists. I'm going to call them terrorists at Islamberg. And Jelani makes this religious statement, posts it on his website. And we have been receiving occasional threats, the death threats from this. Not a big deal. What are you going to do? Well, just came out today. It's being reported on Fox News. Islamist group in U.S. reportedly arming for confrontation with Trump administration. An Islamist group with secretive compounds around the U.S. is collecting weapons in anticipation of potential raids by the incoming Trump administration. It's about damn time somebody did something, if that's the case. One of the group's small enclaves is known as Holy Islamberg, located about 150 miles northwest of New York City in the Catskills. That's where we did the surveillance. Muslims of America, which is headquartered in Hancock, New York, and run from Pakistan, operates 22 Islamic villages around the nation. Well, here's a news flash. If anyone cares, these enclaves, that's old news. What Jelani has done, and no one is listening, they have taken and trained groups of men, military training, give them military training, weapons, and ladies and gentlemen, they have been dispersed in cities across the United States. They are not encapsulated in these compounds any longer. At least not the warriors, whatever Jelani called them on that picture, the lions or the fighting lions or whatever. They're not there. They are now living in the cities, awaiting their orders to come after the people who are not Muslim. And yes, come after us. Compliments of Jelani. Thank you very much. And thank you to the FBI, of course, for your quick reaction to that. Quick reaction to, some call it a fatwa. It's not really a fatwa. It's a religious statement by Jelani that still exists on the Muslims of America's website. So what I'm telling you is this. These people, Fox News is now reporting that intelligence states, well, they're not reporting that, but intelligence does state that there's increased activity among members of this particular community. We have been warned to increase our security. We have been warned to watch out. We have been warned that we are targets. We have been warned that these people are loaded, armed for confrontation. You got Judge Napolitano, who I normally agree with, arguing or, you know, saying, well, you know what, hey, if you're a resident, legal resident of the state, you can collect weapons. There's no law against it. I understand that, but you have to understand too that this is a group that is admittedly a terrorist organization. And folks, this is not a joke. This is not a slap. And these people are being helped by the government, or have been helped by the government. And this transcends party, because this was very rampant during the Clinton administration. This goes back, as I said, in 1980, during the Reagan administration, the Clinton administration, the Bush administrations, plural, especially George W. Bush, when it took on a new life, this group took on a new life, and I'm telling you, each and every one of you right now, the biggest threat right here are the Muslims of America, led by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jelani. So if you happen to see my head cut off or stuck on a pole, Yeah, you can hand somebody a phone book if they want to know. You know, you got any enemies? Yeah, just here. Here's a phone book. But these would be my, this is, would be the first person, first place to look. These are not nice people. They are not nice people. They are trained. They are armed. And they are among us. I will be doing a special report, more articulate, with video, and, well, with photographic evidence I have not yet shown, that I gave to the FBI, and apparently they did diddly squat with it, so we are going to just let it all hang out. Watch HagmanReport.com for a special report on this, because now I'm loaded for bear. And these people, these members of this community, these communities, they're not nice people. And again, they're not, they are out among us. They are not in these walled, at least not the warriors. They're not in the walled villages any longer. Okay, so you have to understand that. But I'm going to be addressing this separately in a separate video, in a very, very, very comprehensive investigative report. It's coming at us, war. It's coming at us. Civil war. This is being exploited. Not just between the blacks and the whites, between the haves and the have-nots. Now, of course, the Muslim terrorists and the non-Muslims. It's all being orchestrated. It's all being gamed out by the powers. By the powers. Believe it. Don't believe it. It's up to you. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. I'm going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Hagman and Hagman Report, moving fearlessly forward in the quest to expose the darkness that's out there. The previous segment talked about the Muslims of the Americas, Islamberg. I'll just say this too: you've got to be very careful with the information out there. The information, a lot of it about Islamberg, is dated. This is Islamberg and the Muslims of the America, it's an evolving threat. They are changing their tactics. They are changing they're changing their addresses. They're moving all the time. People have to understand that this is not, what it was even 5 years ago, 3 years ago, or even a year ago. Their tactics have, operational tactics have changed. So I want to caution you, when you read what's out there on the internet, even by respectable authors, and they still are, understand that the locations have changed, that the threats are not where they are at this point. And, you know, back 10 years ago, when we exposed this group for what it was, we had a lot of people that came after us, and, you know, continued the investigation. God bless them, and we thank them for doing that. But what happened was, well, we're going to, you know, you have people saying, we're going to go see for ourselves. And they went to Islamberg, for example, in Hancock, New York, for the Catskills. And they said, well, we don't see anything. Well, of course not. Of course not. You're not going to see anything. The covert surveillance was conducted, then exposed. Jelani and the group was tipped off. And of course, you're not going to see anything after that. And then you got Fox News going down there in full force, you know, cameras ablazing, saying, hey, can we come in? No. Of course you're not going to, of course it's, you're not going to find the same things we found. And then, of course, they turn around and say, well, see, we told you, you're just nothing but a conspiracy theorist. Okay. I mean, what do you say to that? So, again, watch HagmanReport.com for a full expose on this, and I'm going to be doing a video on this because this is so important. This is going to be a component. This group of people is going to be used. They're going to be exploited by the Marxist-Leninists, by the Alinskyites, to create the havoc, the chaos. Again, these are useful idiots that are operating at the end of a string by the string pullers, by the people with power, in order to cause chaos and destruction here in the United States. They are not the, they're not the brains behind the operation. They're just merely the pawns. So that's something we're going to get into. But as well, Pizzagate, we talked a lot about that yesterday, and I want to just tell everyone as well, I think Pizzagate is probably not the right word to use for what we're seeing being exposed. And my goodness, my thanks to all of the citizen journalists out there who have exposed so much, who've done a lot of groundbreaking investigation. It's not 100% accurate. Not everything you read is accurate. Not every reference is accurate or refers to the satanic ritual abuse. There are mistakes out there. That's okay, because there's a lot being uncovered. But part of this, the bigger part of this, is that at the epicenter of this incarnation of what the listener, what the viewer understands to be Pizzagate, in this incarnation, one of the big spokes, the hubs, or I should say, of this operation is the Clinton Foundation. And as I mentioned yesterday, for example, Laura Silsby, who worked with the Clinton Foundation, the Haiti Relief, was down in Haiti following the destruction down there, and of course was conducting this rescue operation with children. Took 33 children crossing the border, got stopped, and we'll come to find out not all 33 were in need of assistance. Some had still had parents, and some thought they were going on a vacation with this person. She was subsequently arrested, of course, and I mentioned this yesterday with John, and now, under a different name, she is now working for the Amber Alert System. That is a broad, without getting into the details, that's a very broad characterization of what's taking place. But you see, and when you look deeply at this, you will find many of the people involved in this have positions of authority over children. But it gets deeper. So it's the Washington Comet, the references to Comet Pizza, for example, the business, it's bigger than that. It's huge. Whereas Donald Trump's is huge. But anyway, it's a lot bigger than what you're seeing. And again, not all of it is correct. We have, and I told Tom Horn, 800 pages. That 800 pages has now turned into about 1,450 as we speak right now. And I had some dialogue with Tom Horn today, and we're going to be sharing some information, because this goes right back to what Russ Dizdar was talking about, has been talking about, the child abductions, the kidnappings, the unsolved crimes, and the refusal. Speaking of the FBI, their refusal in their categorization, their refusal to, or their classification system, to acknowledge the satanic ritual abuse taking place in America alone. So, but this is bigger than you can even imagine. This is, involves, as I said yesterday, involves ambassadors and dignitaries of other heads of state, the Department of State here in the United States, and this goes back decades. The Franklin cover-up, that was part of it as well. There's just so much to this, but the satanic component to this is so extreme. Now, we're going to be doing a very special report on this as well. And next week, we're going to have people coming on, like Sean from the SGT Report, Brittany Pettibone coming on, and others to talk about specific aspects of this that you perhaps have not heard. And this is necessary, because not only do we need to uncover this, but we need to expose this in a very correct fashion, correctly. The evidence, the documentation has to be vetted, fully vetted, because anyone can make accusations. And yes, sometimes a napkin is just a napkin, or a handkerchief is just, sometimes. Other times, not so much. So we have to really vet the information, which brings me to this point right now. The New York Times had recently talked about fake news. And you, folks, you know about fake news. The accusations, fake news sites, fake news. And Steve Quayle called me and said, oh, today, he said, hey, guess what? I was just, I'm now added to the list of a Russian operative by one of the websites. I said, well, should I call you comrade? You know, and so we had a good chuckle over it, but it's not a laughing matter. Because here's what's taking place. According to Oxford Dictionary, the word of the year, do you know what the word of the year for 2016 is, according to Oxford Dictionary? Oh, come on, take a guess. Oh, Eric, that's uncalled for. That would never be in a dictionary. No, I'm joking. The word of the year in 2016 has been, well, it's post-truth. That's the word of the year for 2016, according to Oxford Dictionary. Snowflake? No, I'm not going to go there. But seriously, folks, this is important stuff here. And think about this. This goes back to the Tavistock Institute. And for those who are not familiar with the Tavistock Institute, please do your own research on this. John Coleman, a respected author, has done just marvelous work on the Tavistock Institute. Daniel Estulin has done work as well. I've talked with him and interviewed him. He's just a knowledgeable guy. But the Tavistock Institute was established back in 1921 by the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And it's grown from then. It's got its official... established officially in the 70s, but it has its roots in the RIIA. Now, Tavistock Institute, what they do is they form public opinion. Now, let's move forward to today. And the word of the year for 2016 is post-truth, which is actually post-truth. All right. So what does that mean? Well, let me just cite what Oxford says here, the Oxford Dictionary. It says, an adjective defined as, and I quote, relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. You caught that. So, okay. Well, the question on Oxford Dictionary site, why was this word chosen? Well, the concept of post-truth, it's been in existence for the past decade at least, but Oxford Dictionaries has seen a spike in frequency this year in the context of the EU referendum, for example, Brexit, with the UK and the presidential, and then here in the United States with the presidential elections. Now, they also write here, and this is important, it has also become associated with a particular noun in the phrase post-truth politics. Okay? Well, and then they go on, post-truth in 2016. Post-truth has gone from being a peripheral term to being a mainstay in political commentary, now often being used by major publications without the need for clarification and definition in their headlines. That, according to the Oxford Dictionary. Well, why is this important today? Let me give you one more thing here. This is a brief history, because the way they build this up and present this does relate to what we know, or what has been termed as Pizzagate. It relates to just about any news story that you come across. All right. The compound word post-truth exemplifies an expansion in the meaning of the prefixed post that has become increasingly prominent in recent years. Rather than simply referring to the time after a specific situation or event, obviously they're talking about the word post of this compound word, as in post-war, post-match, whatever, the prefix in post-truth has a meaning more like, and I'm quoting now, belonging to a time in which the specified concept has become unimportant or irrelevant. In other words, can we say lie, perhaps? Anyway, this nuance seems to have originated in the mid-20th century in formation such as post-national, which big in the 40s, post-World War II. Oh, there I go. After World War II and post-racial in the 60s and 70s. Now, I'll just stop there because everyone kind of gets the idea. Now, enter this operational statement. Hey, everyone say goodbye to my daughter, Jackie, who's just finishing work here in the studio today. Bye, Jackie. Thank you for a great day today, sweetheart. Jackie's a doll. She's working for us, and she's doing a great job, so I just want to say thanks. But fake news and the internet shell game is a column that was written, I believe it appeared in the New York Times, at the end of, when was it? 2 days ago. By, Michael P. Lynch, who happens to be a professor of philosophy at the University of Connecticut. But here's the deal with this and how this all ties together. And I'm going to quote here from this article extensively. And again, this is by Michael P. Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H. He's a professor of philosophy at the University of Connecticut. The article is titled Fake News and the Internet Shell Game. Citing heavily from this article, I want to make sure there's proper attribution here. And also, I want to explain the reason this is important is because many Christians or self-proclaimed Christians are actually using this particular accusation or this characterization to assail those in the Christian conservative media. They are falling victim. They're pawns. They're useful pawns in this war that's being cultivated by the creators of chaos, by Captain Chaos, you know, himself, George Soros, as well as his minions. They're following the Alinsky playbook. The fake news and internet shell game written by this professor said, just a few days after the presidential election, I'm paraphrasing, the Oxford English Dictionary crowned its international word of the year as post-truth. And then he goes in the definition and he says, not coincidentally, it was also the year of fake news in which pure fiction masquerading as truth, for example, and this is the example he uses here, that like posts that claimed Hillary Clinton used a body double and that Pope Francis had endorsed Donald Trump may have spread wide enough to influence the outcome of the election. So this professor is saying fake news in the context of post-truth, or at least in that, using that as the basis for everything we're hearing here today. The fake news was responsible for really the loss, Hillary Clinton's loss, and Donald Trump's victory. Now, it's not stated directly in this particular article, but there are sufficient articles out there, whether it be the Washington Post or Daily Kos on, you know, and other left-leaning or completely left progressive Marxist Leninist websites, who are blaming people like Alex Jones and from InfoWars, Roger Stone, Hodges, many in the alternative media, or what is known as the alternative media, for advancing or for propagating fake news and causing others to believe a fake narrative through the embracing of conspiracy theories, which really cost Hillary the election. So it's us that caused her the election. But worse than that, it is us, those of us in the alternative media who are actually, who say they're reporting the truth, we are the ones who are the purveyors of fake news. It's not NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC. No. It's us. Yet we can cite a dozen examples where from Dan Rather. Remember Dan Rather? Rathergate? Remember Rathergate? I had a paper printed out here with a dozen stories that the news got not wrong, but woefully wrong, incorrect, and actually did nothing to correct any of it. Ruined lives. I mean, they ruined lives. But, you remember Well, how about that? How about the truck? What was it, Dateline? When they staged the accident using one of the trucks, what was it, a GM truck, and it exploded, and they said, look, 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 it's dangerous. Remember that story? That was all staged. But yet, that's not fake news. We are the purveyors of fake news. And if you don't believe the obvious, if you don't believe the people, the obvious people, you know, the people who are part of the journalistic society, if you don't believe them, just ask some self-proclaimed Christians, operators of websites. But this is going to be, in my view, the most important story, the most important part, next to what is known as Pizzagate in this country between now and the end of the year. Barring something really bad taking place, you know, barring well, you know what I'm talking about. This is going to form or be the basis for censorship. This is going to be the basis for I don't want to say ridicule, because that's really not important. I suppose censorship is really what's key here. You're having many social network sites, Facebook, Twitter, censoring actual vetted news stories, calling it fake news. And I say vetted news stories, I'm talking about vetted news stories. I'm talking about certain elements of Pizzagate that have been vetted, the monetary side, which we will get into. It's really not a critical part of this, but when you look at when you start following the money and you see the relationships, monetary and otherwise, of some of the principles involved in what is known as Pizzagate, you'll see that, wait a minute, there not only is there smoke here, but there's fire. And there is validation of facts. Citizen journalists got it right. And the mainstream corporate captured corporate media, the Illuminati mass-controlled media, no. They were either AWOL or they got it wrong. Or they deliberately twisted the story. This is the basis right now. This fake news and what is called the internet shell game here by this author will be the basis, will set the stage. This is the infrastructure that is being employed, being used, being built by the Marxist-Leninist right now to take us down, to take InfoWars down, or attempt to, you know what I'm saying, attempt to do this. Any person attempting to advance the truth or to expose the works of darkness, especially if you have a Christian bias or a Christian perspective, worldview, whatever you want to call it, this is what it will be employed. This is the biggest tool in their toolbox, is labeling us the fake news. Do not underestimate the power behind this particular designation. And I truly believe, left unchecked, this will not only the censorship part of it, but there will be an element of criminality that will be imposed here as a result of this. Not just the censorship and criminality, but the other side of it too. There's another part of this that not too many people know about. And that's the lawfare aspect of things. Yeah. You want to shut someone up, just go ahead and sue them. Or you want to try to shut someone up, go ahead and sue them. Well, you can sue anybody for anything in America. Trust me when I tell you that. when the justice system, the legal system in America, becomes a weapon of the left and a successful weapon, at least in terms of attempting to bankrupt another, to take that person out. That's diabolical to the core. But that's what's going to be happening. Under the designation of fake news, that's what's happening today. And under the designation of fake news. And the qualifier post-truth. So if you haven't heard that, you're going to be hearing more and more and more about that. So under, when you look at the stories, for example, you look at the articles, and when I have said, yes, you've got this challenge to the election. You've got the war against the Electoral College. And people blow it off. They say, oh, it's not going to matter. You got the recounts. We see it didn't matter. It's not the issue. It is not the fact that it's not going to be successful. To me, that's not the issue. And I don't think that should be to you either. The process, the tactics, the underlying operatives and operation that is being conducted, that's the important part. Because once you understand the rules of radicals, rules for radicals, the Saul Alinsky rules, and how they are employed, once you understand this horrendous, pejorative fake news designation, the ridicule of anyone who attempts to bring forth the truth. Just look at the birth certificate issue. It was about the birth certificate. It wasn't about where he was born. It was about constitutional eligibility. They changed the topic. For example, it wouldn't matter, you know, physically if he was born in the United States, if it goes to lineage. But the only reason I bring this up is because to them, to the accusers and to the people who are attempting to rewrite history and change the narrative, they divert from the core elements of the argument. Fake news. This will be the, in my view, the biggest news story, along with what's known as Pizzagate, between now and the end of the year. And there are other things at the periphery of all of that, including the exploitation of events and people to create a civil war-like environment. We said it before. My intelligence source said it. Timing was off. But remember, plans change, the objectives don't. So we're seeing today what my intelligence source said, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's all coming to pass right now. And these are some of the tools that are being used. I'm going to come back. I can't wait. I'm going to come back with our very special guest, Saeed Abedin. He was in prison in Iran 3 years. Yeah. I'm going to talk to him about his experiences. Stay right where you're at, folks.